So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is, most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how.
Everybody, welcome to another awesome episode of Cashflow Dad Live. Today, we have a very special guest, Dave Meltzer. He is the CEO of Sports One Marketing. He's actually like the real Jerry Maguire. He founded this with Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. He's an award-winning humanitarian, an international public speaker, and a best-selling author. So if you don't mind, Dave, let's start with your story. You were actually a millionaire in your 20s, and then you were almost on the verge of losing it all. Can you tell us a little bit more about that background?
Yeah, no problem. I actually, my whole goal, I grew up with a single mom and 6 kids, was to be rich so I could buy her a house and a car. And 9 months out of law school, after making the choice to work in the internet instead of being an oil and gas litigator, graduating from Tulane down there in New Orleans, I proceeded to still believe that money bought happiness. And although I got married and had 3 beautiful children, I ended up having an extraordinary technology career. I was CEO of the world's first smartphone by the time I was 32, multimillionaire, but still under the misguided belief that money could buy happiness. And much worse than almost losing everything, I did lose everything. And I lost everything because I lost sight of the value of being of service, of understanding that the idea in life is to motivate others, not to manipulate them, and not to only worry about, you know, even though I was a big giver, I was giving to receive. I was giving with expectation. I love to hear my name and to be thanked for all the generosity. And I shifted that paradigm to one in which I pray every morning for at least 10 people I can help. I live my life of service. That doesn't mean I don't believe in making money. I believe in making a lot of money to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. And that's what really changed my life. And I've been able to attract everything back into my life that I had before, except for now I do it in a humanitarian, philanthropic way.
That's great. That's exactly my mission in my heart. One of the key things that I heard that kind of changed things around for me was, I think it was Albert Schweitzer who said, "This much I know, those of you who will truly be happy are the ones who have sought and found a way to serve others." So you kind of were in that boat where you had made a lot of money, and but your focus was off. You were focused more on, you know, doing things in order to receive. And now every day you pray so that you could help and serve other people.
Absolutely. And you know what I learned was money doesn't buy happiness, but it allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things in your life, you're going to be happy. And so don't discount the opportunity and the options that are available by creating wealth and abundance that can allow it to come through you for appreciation, gratitude, as well as to add value to give to other people. And that became my main mission, is to truly empower others, to empower others to be happy, to allow myself to create abundance. And the more that comes through me for the benefit of others, the more I expand, the faster things accelerate for me, the higher things vibrate, my awareness raises, and more opportunities exist in my life today because of my true faith in wanting what I want, which is to help other people. And if you put faith in what you want, you'll get more of what you want.
So tell us a little bit more about this focus that stood out to me about what you shop for. What were the things you were shopping for before, and how did gratitude change the way that you shopped going forward?
You know, I shop for your typical things. And, you know, it's funny because I grew up, even though I was completely poor, super happy. And the only time I wasn't happy is when something broke or we didn't have enough money. And so that's where that belief came from. And, you know, when you see your mom crying because a car broke down, you start at 5 years old thinking, man, if I could, my life's so great and my mom sacrifices so much, if I could just, you know, be able to afford to fix things and to buy a house and a car. And what happened was I made more and more money and I bought, you know, a Ferrari and a Porsche and a golf course and a ski mountain and 33 homes and condo conversions and private jet plane rides and motorhomes and jet skis. And no matter what I bought, it was ironic. The only time I wasn't happy in my life is when I had everything that I could ever desire and buy whatever I wanted. And through gratitude, through understanding and appreciating things, I started to change my ideas of shopping. And last year for my 50th birthday, I shopped for something completely different. I had 50 birthday parties around the world to raise money. And I went shopping for two community centers in Africa, which will impact millions of people. And I've never been more fulfilled, purposeful, and passionate about something. And it was truly the epitome of understanding what we shop for can truly make us happy.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, I heard another interview with you where you talked about your wife being kind of pivotal in that transformation, that she kind of caught on to some of those things about your focus before you did. Can you tell us a little bit about the role that she played?
Yeah, you know, from the time I got married to her, I married my dream girl. I was in love with her in the fourth grade. I asked her to go study at sixth grade camp through a friend, and she said no in front of everyone and embarrassed me. So like every grade 12-year-old, I threw an egg at her, and at 12 decided to call her ugly and ask why her friends were prettier than her. And moreover than that, I pursued in her, but she stayed away from me, rightly so. And in my late 20s, we started dating by the grace of God, and she married me. And but always told me that I was lost. You know, she would literally just say, "Oh, you know, you got to start getting it." And I literally would look around me and go, "What are you talking about? You know, I've made more money than anyone I know at my age. I have everything I desire. You don't work. Like, what are you talking about? I'm lost." And sooner or later, as I was surrounding myself with the wrong people, the wrong ideas, you know, doing the wrong things, putting my faith in the wrong places, she basically was the first person to say, "Hey, man, you're completely lost. And if you don't change your way and take stock in who you are and what you want to become, I'm leaving with your three daughters." And that was earth shattering to me. So I went back and took stock in who I was and outlined my first book called Connected to Goodness. And my life started in the right trajectory at that time.
Yeah, that must have been quite a wake-up call.
It certainly was. But, you know, what was great was I, you know, put faith in my wife and how much I loved her and how much I respected her. And I knew that if she was saying these things to me, all the other people that weren't saying these things to me, you know, weren't helping me. You know, they were just manipulating me. They were using me for stuff, and what they were saying and all the accolades they were giving me were all calculated accolades. And I trusted that she was just the spokesperson for thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who knew me, that I was acting like an idiot.
But that's what wives are for sometimes, to be a great spokesperson for everybody else who doesn't want to say things to you. explain the transition from you know, basically creating the first smartphone to sports. You're heavily involved in the sports industry. Those of you who are a longtime listener of the show know my story and that I made this transition to decide to pursue sports or a career that involves sports with Open Up the Indoor Sports Arenas. And part of that is because of some of those internal drivers and so much that you can learn and glean from sports. What were some of the things that made you transition into that kind of field?
You know, it was interesting because I'd left Samsung for the PC ePhone, which was that first smartphone. We had outgrown my need. You know, I was a young CEO, and we became the second largest manufacturers of phones in the world. And I started investing, and through that, I went up and working on a reality show with Magic Johnson called Showtime. And I got to meet Lee Steinberg, who little did I know was in desperate need of a new chief operating officer. And 48 hours after meeting Lee Steinberg, the most notable sports agent in the world, the person they based the movie Jerry Maguire off of, the guy who's in the movie Jerry Maguire, who represented Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Warren Moon, who's now my business partner. But he, without any, you know, application, hired me in 48 hours to be the chief operating officer. And 6 months later, I was CEO of the most notable sports agency in sports because of the skills that I had developed, the knowledge that I had ascertained, and the desire that I had. And I tell people all the time that want to work in sports, don't limit your point of entry. Be the best at what you are. Develop those skills, acquire the knowledge, maintain your inspiration and desire, and opportunities will come to you. People will recognize it and allow you to work in the industry that you want to work in. Sports is not a job. Sports is an industry. The best doctors, lawyers, salespeople, marketers all get to pick and choose or are offered opportunities in the industries that they desire that are aligned with their passion, their purpose, and most importantly, too, they're profitable.
Yeah. So one of the things that, you know, we talk about on the show are, you know, what would you do if money didn't matter? And I think there's a lot of people out there that are kind of in these jobs that they hate. They're working this 9-to-5 and they have these passions, these desires and interests, but they don't pursue them because they're kind of trapped in the rat race a little bit. You mentioned pursuing your passions and your interests one skill at a time. Is there a time-tested principle that you could share with us on maybe that one skill, that first skill that they need to develop to make that transition?
Yeah, there's actually four skills. The first one that you definitely have to have is one that most people don't consider a skill, but I do. It's the most important skill, and it's the skill of perspective, which is driven by gratitude. So the key component in life, the key skill in life is to have the right perspective. And in order to have the right perspective, you need to look at things with a gratitude lens, right? You got to have a get to do attitude, not a got to do attitude. You got to have a try me attitude, not a why me attitude. There's all types of things that allow you through the skill of perspective to put your focus, faith, attention, clarity, balance, all and give you confidence, by the way, all in order to correct your trajectory to that which inspires you. And the key skill set that I had always had, and the only time I wasn't successful when I lost it, was gratitude. The other three are forgiveness, accountability, and of course, effective communication. Those are the four skills, no matter what you want to do, that are essential to your success.
So that's interesting because, you know, there's been a couple different business conferences that I've been on, where, you know, I'm a Christian, so forgiveness is not something that is not talked about. You know, it's discussed all the time. But in the past year, there is a bunch of different business conferences I've been to that talk about forgiveness as being a major catalyst to success. Can you kind of dive a little deeper on that and how maybe in your own story, how that transformed you?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, people don't look at things in this way, that how do things work? And I believe that things work by having an enjoyment of, which goes directly to gratitude, enjoyment of your perspective, the consistent every day, because that gives you exponential power. 2 minutes of doing something every day is worth more than an hour of doing it on a Saturday. So just in the realm of the perspective of time, consistency is essential. So it's the enjoyment of the consistent, persistent, without quit, pursuit, which is the key to happiness. When you're in pursuit and inspired, you can only be happy of your potential. And that's where the clarity, balance, and focus of your potential, your prioritized potential as a father, you know, as a community member, as a doctor, lawyer, as a baseball player, it wouldn't matter. But if you have an enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, driven by gratitude, freed by forgiveness, right? Forgiveness, you only have to forgive yourself just like money, you can't give what you don't have. That's why I think having a lot of abundance and wealth in your life is so essential. Forgiveness is essential. Accountability and the skills of accountability are simply, what did I do to attract this into my life? And what am I supposed to learn from it? Every mistake becomes a miracle. Everything becomes a lesson and the opportunity to expand and accelerate what you're trying to do. As the accountability and control of your own life goes backwards with the forgiveness of all the mistakes that you and others make, goes backwards into the perspective that's provided and inspiration that's provided by gratitude, it allows you to effectively communicate, not just with others, but to effectively communicate to that which empowers you. So every morning I meditate, I pray every morning. I pray for not only 10 people that I can help, but moreover to be of service, to have the strength to stay out of my own way, to not have a need to be right, a need to be offended, a need to be separate, a need to be inferior, a need to be superior, anxious, guilty, resentful, angry, frustrated. I have the power through all of these things, the skill to know that I am aware when I am acting out of ego, when I'm acting off of my trajectory, that I go back to center, not waste any energy, time, not create any void, shortages, or obstacles in my life, but the skill to directly pursue my potential of anything that I want to achieve. And that to me is how I transformed in a quantum shift my entire life by getting focused in on what are the priorities in my life. You know, health first, family second, business third. Within the context of each of those, what are the consistent behaviors that I need to have by utilizing my calendar as a student, studying not only what I'm doing in person on the phone via email and social media, print, radio, and TV, but asking for help and allowing myself to ask if anyone can help me. So do you know anyone that can help me? And how can I be of service? The two crucial questions that have changed my existence. And if I look at everything with the lens of productivity and accessibility, that is truly how I've accelerated the opportunity to allow or attract what I want in my life. And those are the skills. That's how you integrate it. That's how I integrate it, to have whatever you want rapidly and accurately.
I love that. Now, you know, there's a lot of people out there that experience feelings of unforgiveness. They experience a lot of failures, and you know, it's interesting, you're an incredibly successful person, both, you know, on a business genre and personally, and you're meditating daily for God to give you strength to be aware of your weaknesses, to be open and to be receptive. There's a lot of people that experience these failures, and it causes the cycle of fear. And it causes this cycle of inaction or analysis paralysis, limiting beliefs. These four principles that you gave us sounds like a great way to kind of break that cycle, because the only difference between the person who's successful and the person isn't is how they their perspective in life. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Their perspective of failures.
Yeah, in those perspective and failures really determine the assumptions that you make. And, you know, I'm launching a new book, Connected to Goodness, is the first book that outlines these things. But my new book, Game Time Decision Making, you know, is exactly about this topic of making the right decisions based upon these values and the assumptions that we make and the perspective that we have. And so it's a different look, not only with a pragmatic tint to it, like Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, but moreover with a higher understanding, a higher awareness of actually how do we make assumptions, because when we make assumptions, that's what we're basing our decisions on. Most people make the right decision, it's they're making bad assumptions. And so, you know, these game time decision making strategies that I have in my book will really help people not only make good decisions, but more importantly, utilize those values to make the right assumptions.
Excellent. So those four things, again, they're perspective driven by gratitude, forgiveness, accountability. What was the fourth one?
Effective communication, which is the ability to communicate to that which inspires you, to pray or meditate or whatever, to clean the connection, to stay inspired, but also to allow it to come through you with appreciation, to add value, that's what appreciation means, and be grateful, and give it to others. So effective communication in some sense is just inspiration.
See, this is all amazing stuff. So guys, if you're listening to this, it's probably speaking to your heart like it is mine. The next biggest question is, all right, we get that. We understand it. All right. We've kind of processed it. We see how it can help us. The next biggest question is, what's the action item? How do you actually apply these things in your daily life? What is the daily routine that allows you to apply these things?
I mentioned it previously, but it's being a student of your calendar, looking and studying at your calendar every day, what you do in person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, TV, and social media. But moreover, too, the white space in your calendar. You know, everyone, man-made construct of time gives us 24 hours of activity. There's some activity that we get paid for, some that we don't. There's no such thing as work. People that are busy are people that sleep too much. Busy means inaccessible. I look at and study my calendar with a lens of productivity. How much value am I providing? And two, accessibility. How accessible am I to others? And how quickly am I accessing what I want or need for others? So the tool that I use is literally my construct of time and the study of time or focus or attention that I put on time that allows me to harness the field of intention. And then one other nuance within it is a philosophy or a strategy of do it now. So what I do is I ask myself in each activity during the day and each action item during the day, can I do it now? Because if I can do it now, I know I'm going to save myself at least twice as much time, be more statistically successful. And if I can't do it now, I have a do it now folder that I put it in so that when I have that white space in my calendar, that free time in my calendar, I go directly to my do it now folder, prioritize what I need to do. And statistically, I'm more efficient, effective, and successful in what I'm doing. That's the key, the pragmatic side. And if we do that 7 days a week, enjoy it with that perspective, that consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of each of those potentials, each of those priorities, each of those things, then what happens is I create an expansive life, a life that raises my vibration and awareness and my attraction. Consciously, what I think, say, and do, subconsciously, what I believe, and even an unconscious competency of my genetics, my personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, as well as my unconscious energy, the unconscious competency of what I'm attracting to myself energetically, that together really forms what I am and allows me to have whatever I want.
That is an amazing piece of advice. Guys, you gotta study your calendar. You need to know yourself better than anybody else does. And it's amazing because, you know, if you've ever mentored anybody, if anybody's ever mentored anybody, sometimes your students don't have success. And then you say, well, let's look at your calendar. Where did you fit taking action in the calendar? And a lot of times it's like, well, okay, well, I didn't do that. A lot, but the amazing thing is most people aren't aware of their own actions, and just to be able to reflect every single day on those things is an amazing piece of advice. Now you speak a good bit about the law of attraction. What would you say to some of the people that kind of have that limiting belief that just because you think it doesn't manifest itself?
Well, I say to them that not only do you need the laws of attraction, but as John Assaroff taught me, you need the law of Goya. So there's a combination of the law of attraction, and that's because you cannot have the law of attraction without action. And the law of Goya is the law of get off your ass. Right? And the people that don't understand the law of attraction haven't complemented it with the law of Goya. And the people that only live in the law of Goya are exponentially losing out because they cannot harness the exponential power of the universe without using the law of attraction. But when you combine that, like the book, Think and Grow Rich, when you can combine that, that's where the law of attraction meets the law of Goya, and you can exponentially enjoy that consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential.
That is the 1-2 punch. that for sure is a 1-2 punch. There's a lot of people who will sit there and imagine it, but unless you take action, it's not going to manifest itself. Well, this has been amazing, Dave. What is the next, what's the next thing on your plate? What is the next mission?
You know, I have some fabulous things going on. Currently, I'm filming season 4 of Elevator Pitch, the top digital business show on Amazon and on Entrepreneur Network, and Roku Red, YouTube, whatever. I have a top five business podcast called The Playbook. I have a book, Game Time Business Decisions, coming out July 15th. It's on Amazon right now. I'll send you the link. And of course, every single sporting event from the Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, Masters, Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cup, ESPYs, Emmys, Oscars, I'm involved. We have a media company, a sponsorship business with Sports One Marketing. I am not busy, but I am active, productive, and accessible. I look forward to talking with you more, and I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Dave, thank you so much for coming on the show. So many gems of wisdom. I'm going to have to go back through it and bullet point it out for all the listeners, because I don't want anybody to miss any one of those gems. But thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Boom. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out, because each episode has in it an idea or a strategy that could literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to cashflowdadlife.com and get your free swag. And listen, hit me up if you want to talk about how we can get you out of the rat race as soon as possible. Until next time, my name is Ryan Anke, and this was Cashflow Dad Life.